Good evening. Please turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. If you have a pew Bible, that's page 1502. And I'll read verses 1 through 13. So let's give our attention to the infallible word of our holy God. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In recent years, we have seen in evangelical circles perhaps a new emphasis on prayer. It has been done through a focus on a particular prayer in the Bible, not the Lord's Prayer, but rather the so-called Prayer of Jabez. It is a prayer that is in the midst of the genealogy list in Chronicles, and it has often been marketed as the Excalibur of prayer. Do this prayer, say this prayer, and great things will happen. The prayer is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Just one verse, and I'll read it to you. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. I mention this book. The author is Bruce Wilkinson, who wrote on this prayer, because there's a wrong emphasis on this prayer. It is a prayer in Scripture. It's a prayer that honors the Lord indeed. But a prayer recorded in the Bible cannot be simply repeated like a good luck charm. As we even read in the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, the heathen have vain repetitions in their prayers. It is not to be so among God's people. We are not to expect a special blessing if we say a special prayer. Of course, the question needs to be asked about prayer overall. Why do we pray? What is the need for prayer? One of the fellows I was reaching out to when we first moved to Percival was a man who was in a group home for the mentally handicapped. And he would claim that the Lord speaks to him. So he enjoyed to claim to say that he and the Lord speak to one another. But he said, why do I need to pray to God? Because he already knows what need I have. Why pray? So this is a good and profitable question to explore, especially as we look at the first petition. What is the need of your prayer? Is your focus on what you want in your prayers? Is that how you begin your prayers, with your wish list? If we have, then I'm afraid if this is our pattern of prayer, simply to request what we desire or what we think we need, then prayer can be simply a means of idolatry. See, God alone is to be the object and the focus of your prayer. It is His will we are to seek in prayer and not our own. It is God who is to be worshipped and not material things that we seek, or relationships or positions or a job. Prayer is a means of worship. It's a means of grace as well. There are legitimate things to pray about, pray for, and you should certainly bring forth your own particular petitions. You have needs. You have great needs. And these should be expressed in prayer, but it should not stop there. God must be the central aspect of your prayer without exception. So I'd like to take the Lord's Prayer and its respective petitions, and as I said, I'll just sum them up in the next 4 weeks, because I believe the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. Many churches use this prayer to recite as an aspect of the worship service, but is that as far as you go with that prayer, you lose out. It's a model prayer. There's much theology in the prayer, much to show us how to approach God. The prayer begins, "Our Father in heaven." Notice the first word. It's in the plural. It doesn't say, "My Father in heaven," which would be legitimate, but it's in the plural to signify that the Father is the God of all. By implication, Jesus Christ is not only a Savior to an individual, He is the Savior for all people of the world. This is revealed in the plural pronoun. It also denotes that we are not to pray simply for ourselves, we pray for other people. And that must be included in our prayers. Our prayers to be very personal. It's the aspect of our faith. And in fact, it's probably the most personal aspect of your faith. We all can sing psalms together. You are listening to a sermon, I hope, together. But you must pray individually. You can do it corporately. You can do it in groups. But if you don't have the personal prayer life, you cannot claim to have a Christian life. So you and I must be honest as well in our prayers, even within the church setting. At times, you need to confess your sins one to another, because your sins have hurt the church, have hurt other people, and ultimately has hurt you. And how often this is neglected in it, even in our private prayers. Even when you're in your closet, many times we're thinking of what I want and not what we have done. We're to pray for our spiritual needs, our growth in faith, our boldness in faith, our outreach, our understanding of God's truths, our rejoicing in our God, our being corrected in His chastening. See, if we don't confess our struggles, if we don't confess our sin, we are thus saying, I have reached perfection. I have no need of prayer. And ultimately, you're saying you have no need for Christ. And we know good Christians would never say such a thing. Now, we might think, because we are prideful people, I don't want to reveal my sins or my spiritual weaknesses before others. After all, what would they think of me? I do not advocate we are to share our most deepest personal struggles in public, but we need to be open as a family, that we need help from the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing to hear others pray on our behalf. And it's even more beautiful to be able to pray for others. Prayer is a means of grace. Why do you need to pray? Because you need grace. Why do you need grace? Because you have the old sin nature in you. You need grace in order to approach God. And it's also an element of worship. You need to worship God because you're created to that end. When you neglect the worship of God for a time and season, whether you are prohibited from the public worship or whether you deny yourself even private worship, your heart does not grow in joy, but your soul grows in heaviness. Hence, Psalm 122, which we sung just a few minutes ago. I rejoiced when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Because we enjoy worship as God's people. So let us use it rightly and fully for God's praise and for our own good. How often have you shared a struggle, a hardship in your life, a difficulty with someone else? And a Christian brother and sister has said the most obvious of questions: have you prayed to the Lord? And how often have we found ourselves, no, I haven't. Returning to the Lord's Prayer. As one of the Puritan writers commented about this first petition, he said, "Father denotes reverence. Our Father denotes faith. In all our prayers to God, we should exercise faith." Faith baptizes prayer and gives it a name. It is called the prayer of faith in James 5:15. Without faith, it is speaking, not praying. Faith is the breath of prayer. Prayer is dead unless faith breathes in it. Prayer is the key of heaven. Faith is the hand that turns it. How very well said. One who prays is spiritually sane. It's the reality of a relationship with your God and your Maker. Anyone can go through the motions of worship. As I look upon you right now, I appreciate you looking forward towards the pulpit. I have no idea if you're listening to each word I'm saying, where your mind is. You could go through the motions of corporate worship. And we know we can read the Bible and think of our next summer vacation at the same time we're reading the words. We can have theological conversations and yet not really have a heart in it. But prayer, that's where your sincerity will really shine out before the Lord. And it's a labor of faith. It brings us near to God and in close communion with Him. We express a relationship in this petition when we say "Our Father." It's not something to be said lightly. It's something to be said by faith. And if you claim that relationship by saying these words, you must be certain you are living in that relationship as God has directed us. As Thomas Watson has said, God showed His power by being our Maker. He shows His mercy by being our Father. Prayer to God can never be viewed as a water spigot which you turn on and turn off as you have a need, as you thirst for something. You have a good relationship with the Lord when you have a good time in prayer. Why do we need to pray? Because we need to confess our sins. Indeed, the moment of salvation. You realize you're lost, and then you come to a point where you are in need of God's mercy and forgiveness. You pray, confessing your sins. But we are to confess our sins daily, because we sin daily. God's forgiveness is full, it's continual. But we confess every time we denote our sins that we have a need for a Savior. We have not run out of that need. So we continue to confess our sins. And that is one of our needs for prayer. And as we acknowledge in human relationships, they always have to be two-sided. We must be giving, and the other person must be giving as well. We give and we receive. So we may desire good things from God, and yet do we give the Lord good things? Do we give Him our prayers? Being faith, you have the privilege to call upon God as a child would call upon his father. The Lord did not choose that word father by mistake. We all, in all cultures, understand somewhat the relationship of a father to a child and a child to a father. Romans 8:14-16 has these wonderful words. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the second half of the petition, in heaven. When we say God is in heaven, our Father in heaven, it denotes there is a gulf between us and the Lord. Between God and mankind, we live upon the earth, which has been cursed due to Adam's sin. And we ourselves have sinned again and again against the Lord, against the glorious, holy majesty of our God. And looking up to heaven, we seek God and recognize that all good gifts come from above. As it is said in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, as Jesus instructs the people, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Lord is most wise, that we should seek him in our prayers. And when we speak of God in heaven, we recognize he's omnipresent. We recognize he's all powerful. There is no place where God is not. We recognize that God is the creator and the Lord, and we are his creatures. We are made by him. We are subject to him. If this were not the case, then why pray to God at all? So we confess this in this simple petition. And yes, as Christians, we must be reminded of the most simple of truths found in the Scriptures. Paul did so with the saints at Colossae in chapter 3 of that epistle. Verse 1, Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and then you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Note the relationship of being risen with Christ speaks of the resurrection of the soul at the time of salvation. And setting our mind on God above, we recognize where God's abode is and where our final resting place will be as well. It will be with our Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit in glory. Christ provides this wonderful promise as we pray heavenward. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So we're practicing our communion with God, which we'll do through all eternity as we pray to Him. So we think of a natural child. We seek provision from his natural father. We likewise seek all of our provisions from our heavenly Father. Yet we would be disturbed by a child who only goes to his father wanting this or that. A solid relationship of honor and love and obedience should be there, or it's a broken relationship. Now, why is it that many who profess to be Christians have a poor prayer life? I think we all go through seasons of a good prayer life, a poor prayer life, a mediocre prayer life. Why is that? Well, are we thinking upon God when we leave church? Do you think about the sermon during the week? How many people forget within a few days' time what the sermon was about? If I ask you within an hour what the morning service was about, could you tell me? See, I'm the pastor, I could do that. If I was in that position, sometimes I struggle. I got to think about it. We must think upon our God. And do we truly love the Lord? We have to be reminded why we love the Lord. Why does the Lord have us sing the Psalms over and over again? Why do you have to read Scripture that you have already read over and over again? Why do you need to study it? Why does it have to be expounded to you? To emphasize the truths that you already know. To uncover truths that you have not yet realized. We need to know again and again how lovely the Lord is and why we should love Him. And why we bear His name, if we bear the name Christian. Now, it must not be thought that gifted prayers are grace-filled prayers. God is sympathetic to the meekest of prayers. It does not matter if you have long standing in the church or you have never joined. God will tenderly hear your prayers if you are sincere in coming to Him. That is a great blessing to hold on to. If you want to honor God and submit to His will, you certainly will be blessed. If God is your Father, you have His mercy abiding upon you at all times. The Lord hears the cries of His people. You have that assurance as you pray with faith. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 declares, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." 1,000 generations. See, God did not spare His natural Son, Jesus. Due to the sins of His people, He did not spare His Son. But He spares His adopted sons. Due to their sins being paid by Jesus. Again, notice the mutual relationship of love between Himself and those who receive mercy. If you want mercy from God, but have no heart to obey Him, you simply want license to sin more and more. So we need to pray to examine our own intentions. David says, "O Lord, examine my heart." That opens up the door to a lot of trouble. But greater blessing. Prayer focuses on God's faithfulness. Many times the prayers of the Bible recount the Lord's works in the history of His people. And you should be doing that in the history of this congregation. Established in 1895, the sign says. What about in your life? You should recount the faithfulness of your God. In the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, we we have an interesting contrast. It's a very short account given in Luke chapter 18, verses 11 through 13, if you want to turn there. The Pharisee, a religious leader, has a prayer. And the publican, a corrupt tax collector, has a prayer. And begins this way in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I get tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee demonstrates his arrogance and claims that he is better than another. The publican confesses that he is not better, but a sinner. The Pharisee asks for no forgiveness, for he confesses no sin. In fact, he boasts in what he thinks is his own righteousness, hence fasting and tithing. The publican, with regret, confesses he has sinned and is ashamed to look God in the eye. The Pharisee, you notice, prays with himself. But the publican prays to God. God will never be fooled by insincere prayer. He will reject it every time. Be honest with yourself and before the Lord. So by way of application, you must make certain that you look upon God as your heavenly Father. By no means does this convey the notion that you simply consent to who God is. Remember the words of James chapter 2, verse 19. For you believe in one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. See, the demons even confess who Jesus was in his earthly ministry. There are accounts when he came to somebody who was demon-possessed, and the demon would speak out, I know who you are. You are the Holy One of Israel. See, it's more than knowing who God is, more than acknowledging Jesus as the Christ. It's far more than fear that we should possess. It's to love the Lord as you approach him. It's to have devotion to the Lord as you speak to him. It's to submit with a willing heart and you express your love to your Heavenly Father in prayer. Never forget that all blessing of God is for his people, it's to dwell with him in glory, to have intimate fellowship with him. God is the creator. You are the creation. And I hope the recreation and salvation. You will always be below God in standing. There's nothing taken away from your relationship with God to know that fact. But rather establishes the propriety of the relationship. God is above. We are below. If you say you love the members of your family and want to spend time with them, that is good. But how can you justify forsaking time with your Heavenly Father? Do you rationalize that he understands? I am tired, yet I love him. I'll worship him some other time. And that other time is put off more and more and more. See, God does not provide a list of excuses, for he does not need it. He is always faithful. So who are we to have a list before him? And you do not need to know much scripture in order to pray. This is a wonderful thing to witness to people. I don't know how to pray. His followers said the same thing to him. Teach us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is the model prayer. You don't have to be eloquent. You come where you are. Say, Lord, I don't know how to pray to you. I don't know what words to say, but this is how I feel. I am in need. Help. Does not have to be long, but as a means of grace, remember. We express our hope and our joy. We acknowledge that God is our priest, our redeemer. He's our friend. He's our advocate. He's our savior. He's our judge. He is our comforter. Now you might say, sometimes I simply do not feel like praying. Pray about that. Simple as that. Lord, my heart is cold before you. Be honest. And I know this is a sin. Return me to the days when I was fervent in prayer, when I rejoiced in my time of prayer, when I sought it out, when I protected my time of prayer. Just start talking to the Lord and be honest, confessing your need of Him. There's many things to pray about. Understanding of the Bible, a heart that is obedient to Him, the means, the grace to do good works in His name, of course, forgiveness. Pray for others, their salvation. The prayer must be fervent to be effectual, James says. To be casual in the heart, to be indifferent to what God hears and sees in us, is not pouring out your heart to the Lord. Never seek to impress others. You're engaged with God. You are seeking the Holy Spirit's help to pray. And you realize, Jesus says that He, the advocate, even makes intercession for our prayers, because we do not know what we should pray for often. Because our prayers must come from the heart, let me add the words of exhortation by J.C. Ryle on this point. The heart is the principal thing in the relation of husband and wife, of friend and friend, of parent and child. The heart must be the principal point to which we attend in all the relations between God and our souls. What is the first thing we need in order to be Christians? A new heart. What is the sacrifice God asks us to bring to Him? A broken and contrite heart. What is the true circumcision? The circumcision of the heart. What is genuine obedience? To obey from the heart. What is saving faith? To believe with the heart. Where ought Christ to dwell? To dwell in our hearts by faith. What is the chief request that God makes to everyone? My son, give me your heart. And this is done through prayer. Calling God, you state you are the one that belongs to Him. To be a son or daughter of God, you walk in holiness. You desire to walk in holiness. For you have no peace if you do otherwise. And God said, be holy as I am holy. We rejoice in our God. And we rejoice in the life He has given us, eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we demonstrate to a fallen world that we are sincere in our faith when we pray. That we are utterly dependent upon our God in order to be a Christian. And we confess that it is His grace extended to us that allows us to even approach Him. So I hope we have a greater understanding, or even a renewed understanding, why do we need to pray. So let us do just that. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice, O Lord, that You have given us Your written word, of Your faithful works throughout history, of the counts of Your people, of great acts of faith, great struggles and failings that we can relate to. O Lord, we are thankful for the many prayers we have. Even as we sing the Psalms, we know they are prayers. Even those that denote struggles, doubts, hopelessness. But Lord, we pray that You would give us the strength to be honest before our God in our prayers. That we would be jealous for our time with the Lord. That we would not give way to the world and the pursuits of it, even the necessities of it, and drown out prayer altogether in our lives. Oh Lord, may we be faithful to grow in our prayer life, prayer for one another, our prayer in the church, our intercession for others. May we understand our need for prayer, and may we be active in doing it. For we know no missionary effort can ever be fruitful unless there is a pouring out of abundant prayer. No preaching will do the necessary work unless it is preceded and followed by prayer. No counseling will be effectual unless there is abundant prayer. And there is really no abundance of joy and communion unless we have prayer upon prayer. O Lord, may we rejoice in our communion with you. Bless us in our prayers and guide us to even greater prayer and more intimate prayer. We pray by the Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name. Amen.